everyone. Welcome back to Beyond the Label. I'm Ruby, and as always, I'm joined by Eric. Today, we're diving into something that honestly gets me a bit fired up, inclusive sports and how they break down all sorts of barriers. Eric, you ready for this?
Absolutely, Ruby. I think this is one of those topics that, well, it touches everyone, doesn't it? Whether you're talking about ability, gender, background, sports can be a real equaliser, or at least they should be.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, when you look at the research, it's pretty clear when people of all backgrounds get to play together, it just, I don't know, it chips away at those invisible walls. Like suddenly it's not about who's different. It's about the game, the team, the laughs after practice. I remember my first time joining a co-ed soccer team. Oh, I was terrified. I was like 12 and I thought everyone would be better than me or that I'd just embarrass myself.
Did you embarrass yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I tripped over the ball in my first 5 minutes. But you know what? No one cared. And after a few weeks, I started speaking up more, not just on the field, but in class too. It was like, suddenly I had this confidence I didn't know I could have. I think that's what sports can do, especially for girls and, you know, anyone who feels a bit on the outside.
That's such a good point. There's a lot of evidence that sports help young girls, in particular, build self-esteem and resilience. And it's not just about the physical side, is it? It's the communication, the teamwork, the sense of belonging. I read somewhere, I always forget the source, but it was saying that these skills carry over into like job interviews and leadership roles later on.
Yeah, and it's not just girls either. For underprivileged youth, sports can be this massive gateway to, well, just feeling like you matter, like you belong somewhere. I mean, I might be rambling, but I think that's the magic of it. Sports can make you feel seen, no matter where you come from or what you can do physically.
So let's talk about some of the programs that are actually making this happen. Miracle League of Connecticut, for example. They're doing incredible work with adaptive baseball. And then there's Oak Hill Schools, adaptive sport and fitness. These aren't just, you know, token efforts. They're building real communities.
Yeah, and it's not just about letting people play. It's about making sure everyone feels like they belong. I mean, I've heard parents say their kids found their first real friends through these programs. That's huge.
Absolutely. I came across a case study from Oak Hill. There was this wheelchair basketball program. And one of the participants, I think he was about 16, said it was the first time he felt like part of a team. Not just included, but genuinely valued. And his confidence just skyrocketed. His mum said he started volunteering at school, speaking up in class, all sorts of things. It's that ripple effect, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not just about the physical fitness, though. That's obviously important. It's the empowerment, the friendships, the sense of like, hey, I can do this. And honestly, I wish more people knew about these programs. Sometimes they're a bit under the radar, but they're changing lives.
And it's not just for kids either. Adults with disabilities, people from all backgrounds, these programs are for everyone. It's about creating a space where everyone can thrive, not just participate.
Yeah, and I think that's the key. It's not about ticking a box for inclusion. It's about actually building a community where everyone feels like they belong. That's what makes the difference.
So let's talk about the people who make all this possible. The coaches. I mean, coaching for inclusion, that's a whole different skill set, isn't it?
Oh, totally. I actually interviewed a coach a while back. She ran this local footy club. And she realized a lot of kids couldn't afford the fancy adaptive gear. So she started this scheme where they made their own equipment out of like pool noodles and duct tape. It was genius. Suddenly way more kids could join in, and it didn't matter if you had the latest gear or not.
That's brilliant. And it just shows sometimes it's not about having a massive budget. It's about creativity and, well, empathy. But there are still big challenges, aren't there? Facilities that aren't accessible. Equipment that's just too expensive for most families. I think investment and proper training for coaches and staff is crucial. Otherwise, you end up with programs that look inclusive on paper, but aren't in practice.
Yeah, and I think a lot of coaches want to do the right thing, but they just don't have the resources or the training. Like, it's not always obvious how to adapt a drill for someone in a wheelchair or how to make sure everyone feels included. But with the right support, it can be done. And honestly, when coaches get it right, it changes everything for the players.
Exactly. It's about building environments where everyone feels valued, not just accommodated. And that takes effort, but the payoff is massive for the athletes, the coaches, and the whole community.
All right, I reckon that's a good place to wrap up for today. There's so much more we could talk about, but we'll save it for another episode. Eric, thanks for the chat. Always a pleasure.
Likewise, Ruby. And thanks to everyone listening. If you've got stories or questions about inclusive sports, send them our way. We'll be back soon with more ways to go beyond the label. Take care, everyone.
Catch you next time.